This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Wisconsin's gun deer season begins on Saturday, and the state's Department of Natural Resources anticipates the hunters out there are going to be older and fewer. This is nothing new. Baby boomers represent the largest cohort of hunters in Wisconsin. The number of them returning to get a gun deer license has been steadily declining for years now. That can have a big impact on how the state manages the deer population and how it funds conservation programs. You can join the conversation at 800-642-1234. Are you getting ready to go out this weekend for the beginning of the season? Have you been a hunter for years? Is this your first year, or do you think it might be your last? If you stopped hunting a few years ago, love to hear from you as well. Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@WPR.org. Paul Smith is outdoors editor for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. He recently wrote about this topic. Paul, welcome back to Central Time.
Thank you very much, Rob. Great to be with you.
I gave the basics there. Can you tell us about this ongoing trend we're seeing of fewer and fewer people each year going out for that deer hunt?
As you mentioned, Rob, it's not a new trend in Wisconsin. We had a peak of license sales for a gun deer license in Wisconsin in 1999. And since then, that number of licenses sold has declined. And probably the single biggest reason is this generation of baby boomers who hunted unlike any generation before or after is starting to age and leaving hunting for a variety of reasons. You know, some of them, it's just a matter of getting older, losing interest, or some move out of state. Some get in health conditions that don't allow them to hunt and or lose access to spots to hunt. There's a variety of reasons, but the bottom line is people aren't coming into the sport like they were in the past. So those the loss of these baby boomers is not being replaced, and we're seeing a net decline in licensed hunters.
I want to talk about what that means in a couple different ways. First of all, part of the state's deer management plan involves a certain number of hunters being out there harvesting deer. Is this decline in the number of hunters affecting that, interfering with that?
It certainly has the potential to. Rob, the gun deer season is the single largest contributor to the hunting account for the DNR. So, you know, and it's still substantial. There's a decline here, but it's important to note that there's still a very large number of licenses sold and participants. This year, it's expected to be around 550,000. And when it peaked, it was about 690,000. So it is down about 140,000, but still substantial. Those licenses sold form the single largest contribution to this hunting-related management in the state. And it's also important because the number of licenses sold is used by the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service when they're spreading out money from a excise tax on hunting gear, including guns and ammunition, and that's spread around to states. And part of the formula for that is a number of licensed hunters. So it's certainly a concern for the DNR, and it's one I know they've worked to address. You know, there have been active programs called 3R3, recruitment, retention, and reactivation to try to make up for these losses. But so far, the loss has been greater than the new hunters coming in.
Talking about Wisconsin's upcoming deer hunt and a declining number of deer hunters with Paul Smith from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Paul gave me a great segue there, that R3 program. Emily Eel is with us, hunting and shooting sports R3 coordinator for the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. Emily, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Happy to be here, Rob.
Now, you've been listening to our conversation so far with Paul. Can you talk about now this R3 effort, the effort to bring more and maybe a different demographics of people into deer hunting?
Yeah. So as Paul mentioned, there's been some really big demographic changes happening in the hunter population. And then there's also been some really big cultural shifts, such as urbanization. There's more people living in cities than ever before. And then just how people value nature and wildlife has changed over the last few decades. So it's pretty unlikely that we're going to reverse the trends that are and the drivers of the decline in hunter numbers. So the goal of our program, the R3 program, is to provide opportunities for people who want to learn. So typically in the past, people would learn to hunt through their family or neighbors, people close to them. But that doesn't seem to be the case anymore. And so our goal is to provide programming and connect people with others who can teach them if they don't have those folks in their network.
You have a few different programs that I think at different levels for people. Can you tell us the different pathways the DNR offers for people who didn't maybe learn to hunt, as you said, from their parents, but want to give it a try?
Yep, we try to provide a large menu of options just because there's no silver bullet for teaching people how to hunt. There's no cookbook, and everybody is at a different stage. So we've done programs anywhere from taking people on 4-hour squirrel hunts on, you know, on weekday afternoons, to programs where we meet multiple times over the course of a month and we spend a really intensive weekend actually hunting with novices. We pair people up one-on-one. And then this year, we've been focusing a little bit more on specific skills. So we've had a lot of fun and success scheduling deer butchering workshops in the different regions throughout the state. So I think we've done 7 of those. And they've been really popular. We've had people coming from hours away, and it's really fun to see the variety of people who come to those programs, because it can be anywhere from people who have hunted their entire lives and are just looking to pick up some tips and tricks on how other people do things. And then we've had classes that are the majority people who have never processed their own deer and who might be complete novice hunters, whether they've gone at all or maybe they're in their first 5 to 10 years of doing that. So it's been really cool to see.
Now, deer hunting season is literally just around the corner, but if people want to get involved in these programs for future hunts, so what do they need to do? Where do they need to go to get set up with this?
So we have an email subscription list, and if you go to the DNR events page, we post all of our events there. So that's always a good place to check out. Otherwise, we partner with a lot of organizations around the state. So we try to post everything on our website, but you can always reach out to me, or we have regional staff. We're excited to bring on 4 new partner positions too, through Pheasants Forever, the National Deer Association, Raised at Full Draw, which is an archery-focused organization, and Pass It On Outdoor Mentors. So reach out to any of us and check out the DNR webpage, and you can find what we're offering.
Emily, thanks again for joining us today.
Thank you, Rob.
That's Emily Eel, Hunting and Shooting Sports R3 Coordinator for the DNR. We talked to her about some DNR efforts to offer alternative pathways for people, including younger people, to get into hunting. Paul Smith stays with us, Outdoors Editor for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Paul, you've been following deer hunting in Wisconsin for a long time. What kind of things do you hear anecdotally, you know, about why the next generation, maybe if you're talking to that baby boomer, why the next generation didn't follow in their footsteps or bootsteps?
Right. Well, I grew up in Racine County here in Wisconsin, and so it was a different time. I'm actually, if you opened up the dictionary and look for the baby boomer deer hunter, you could see my picture, because I'm 62 years old and I'm just right at the peak of this wave that's now passing. And so when I grew up, it was very natural to hunt, and I didn't really have to ask or look very far when I knew I was interested in it. And since then, I've served as a mentor in some of the programs that Emily just mentioned. And so I've got to meet people who have more challenges today to hunt. And I've also served as a mentor to friends and children of friends and et cetera. It's a different world, Rob. You know, it's just a whole different world how people relate to outdoor activities. And hunting is actually, you know, it's another step. It's one thing to go out for a hike and to maybe go bird watching, but to go hunting requires, you know, some extra gear, and it's a different intention. You want to bring an animal into possession, kill it, and bring it home for food mostly. And while there is some motivation there, I see a strong motivation for wild, locally sourced food. Mm. It's still a smaller percentage of the population that wants to do that than, when I was in my teens. So that's the big lift that the DNR and other agencies have, is trying to appeal to younger people today and people of all ages. I've mentored people who are adults too, who are just, you know, adult onset hunters. It's a big challenge. We have to also mention that it's not just in Wisconsin. This is, mm-hmm. this is a nationwide event going on where hunting is declining, or hunting license sales are declining. So, and I think I have a high regard for the programs that are being offered in Wisconsin, but it's just a different era here in 2023, Rob.
Talking to Paul Smith, outdoors editor for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, looking at the upcoming deer season. The gun deer season starts this weekend. Fewer hunters, older hunters out there now, according to the DNR. You can join in at 800-642-1234 with your story, your question. That's 800-642-1234. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our talk with Paul Smith, outdoors editor at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, talking about the changing demographics of deer hunters in Wisconsin, the largest cohort, baby boomers, then the gradually declining number of gun deer licenses. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Let's go to your calls now. Timothy is with us in La Crosse. Timothy, hi.
Hello there. Can you hear me?
Loud and clear. What did you want to tell us about?
Well, I'm 78 years old, belong to a mentoring group called CAMEL, Kids and Mentors Outdoors. And there's like five chapters in the state of Wisconsin. Our charge is to try to get kids outdoors, not just hunting, but anything outdoors, from hunting, fishing, canoeing, kayaking, birding, whatever you have. And it's just a difficult problem. To get the kids, and what even more difficult is to get adults, mentors. We're all aging out, and it's hard to find people to join something like CAMEL, Kids and Mentors Outdoors.
And Timothy, before I let you go, Timothy, I wanted to ask, it's just a few days away from the deer hunt, if people want to get involved with that as a mentor or mentee, is it too late, or can they still sign up?
Well, for kids, it's too late to really do anything that way. We do have, at Poinette, we have what we call a Joe hunt. And the kids can, and this is an excellent thing, in the sense that they, at Poinette, state of Wisconsin actually has almost like a dormitory. They have a kitchen where they feed the kids, and they get a chance to hunt. I think it's somewhere around December 7th. They might look into that and try to get kids and mentors together there. But
excellent, Timothy. Thanks a lot for the call. Paul, not just the DNR, but other groups around the state working to bring new people on board with hunting and other outdoor activity we just heard.
Absolutely. Dozens of them are in that work, Rob. And I went up and I stayed at the McKenzie Center 1 year with CAMEL, the group that Tim is with, and slept in the dorms and went on deer hunts with them. I'm very familiar with their programs. So there's a lot of people working on the same problem, and people in the conservation community are fully aware of how important it is to help young people and people of all ages to make that connection to the outdoors, whether it's hunting or other things. There's so many positives that can come from it.
Thanks a lot for sharing that with us, Timothy. We'll go to Brad now in Tomahawk. Brad, hi.
Hi.
What did you want to tell us about?
Oh, I was just calling in because I heard your radio thing about the diminishing people getting tagged and stuff. And I'm from Tomahawk, and we had a hunting party of probably about five where we haven't seen a deer in probably 5-6 years. In fact, we've seen more wolves, coyotes, and bears then. So there's been a loss of interest.
Brad, I gotcha. Not a great signal, but I get your point. Brad saying they're not seeing deer out there. Paul, looking at statewide deer population numbers, the trends are up, I think, over the last few years, but that doesn't mean in any one particular hunting site, yeah, there's going to be deer there.
Exactly. Yeah. The operative phrase is deer densities vary, even in a local area, and they're not... I think they say distributed evenly across the landscape. And in Tomahawk and other parts to the north, the deer herd there can have effects of severe winters, which either kill deer or reduce survival. And we have more predators in the north also. So one could make an argument that the deer herd is better balanced in the north, a more natural balance. But if you're a deer hunter and you haven't seen a deer up there, that argument doesn't carry much weight. I feel for hunters who want to go out and see deer. That's usually the number one criteria for a successful hunt is actually for deer hunters to actually see a deer, not necessarily kill one. And if you're out there for hours and don't see them, then creates a less satisfying experience, and that can cause people to stop hunting for sure. I've heard from many people who've said they just aren't seeing the deer anymore. And because it takes some effort, you know, especially if you don't live in that area, but you traditionally travel to northern Wisconsin, you might just decide to stay home and spend the weekend closer to home or change your hunting area. Certainly deer populations can affect the number of hunters in an area.
Thanks for the call, Brad. We are talking about Wisconsin's deer hunting season, declining number of people hunting over the course of time in Wisconsin. Paul Smith with us at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. And back to your calls now. John is with us in Algoma. John, hi.
Hi. I had two thoughts. One's related to the camo idea. I'm not a hunter. I'm a fisherman and I belong to Trout Unlimited. And we run a summer trout camp. I know our chapter donates to a summer camp for kids. Doing some things like that and having hunting groups sponsor summer camps or fall camps, maybe a long weekend camp might be a possibility. The other thought is kind of heretical, I think. It's probably heresy. But I'll say it anyway, and that is I used to have a friend, a lifelong friend, who was an avid hunter. And as I said, I'm a fisherman. I live close to Lake Michigan. He lived up in Oneida County. And while I was going to retire and live up there, he was going to teach me to hunt. But unfortunately, he died. When he was still alive, he would share the... his hunt with me, and I would share frozen salmon and smoked salmon with him. And we did it for years, and there's nothing any very formal about it. We just did it. The thought crossed my mind that perhaps there would be a way for people like myself, and I'm in my later 70s, to buy a second ticket for somebody, pay processing costs, and maybe work out something else as an incentive, because wild game is wonderful and I certainly like it, and I've lost my source, and I rather suspect as people are aging out of hunting, they are likewise And perhaps there's something that could be worked out.
Interesting, John. Thanks a lot for the call. Paul, I don't know if anybody's thought of, or proposed things like this, where somebody like John, who doesn't hunt or can't hunt anymore, sponsors that current hunter, buys that second ticket, pays for the processing, so the hunters out there are hunting for two instead of just one.
Fantastic idea. I've never heard it proposed before. I've heard it similar things in different areas of the outdoors. For instance, the federal duck stamp, people would buy two instead of just the one that they need to hunt, but it would just be a way to contribute more to the wetlands fund that the duck stamp supports. But I've never heard anything similar to what John just recommended. I think it's a great suggestion.
Interesting idea, John. Now, Paul, I want to take our last little bit of time. Give a little forecast or what are the conditions looking like for the deer hunt? Not a lot of snow on the ground in most of the state, which I understand is a big factor.
Yeah, it's a big factor because when you have snow on the ground, the deer are much easier to see as a hunter if you're looking across the landscape. If it's going to be brown like it is this weekend and the brown deer are moving, it just makes it much more difficult for hunters. On the positive side, the forecast calls for mild temperatures, so hunters could spend more time afield, and that might help increase their odds of filling a tag. Last year was perfect, just about perfect on opening weekend, and the deer kill was up 14% year over year last year, largely because of the great conditions opening weekend. I will be heading to Madeline Island in the Apostle Islands. It's the farthest north I've ever deer hunted, but I think the conditions are going to be without snow. So I'll see what we can turn up on Madeline Island.
Paul, thanks again for joining us today.
So much. Thank you, Rob.
That's Paul Smith, outdoors editor at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. We talked to him today about the aging, declining deer hunter population in Wisconsin ahead of the start of the state's gun deer season this Saturday. Still time for you to share your experiences, what's led you to start hunting, stop hunting, or stay in it. If you're a younger person into hunting, love to hear from you. Email ideas at WPR.org.